You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
You know that expression, always stop and smell the roses? I grew up in the big city, the mean streets of Chicago's north side. Haven't lived in Chicago for 2+ decades, but I am still reppin' Rogers Park. And my version, my city mouse, not a lot of roses around version of always stop and smell the roses goes like this. Always stop and read the dumpster graffiti. I don't live in Chicago anymore, but I am still reading dumpster graffiti. And walking home from work the other day through the mean green streets of Seattle, something scrawled on a dumpster with a silver ink pen caught my eye. Forced to wear diapers and girls' clothes for my wife's friends. All caps. Pop quiz, Savage Lovecast listeners. Is dumpster graffiti confessor guy bragging or complaining? Do, 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 do. All right, pencils down. If you answered neither, you were correct. Sorry, trick question. Our dumpster graffiti confessor guy isn't complaining, and he's most likely not bragging either. And although women can have wives these days, dumpster graffiti confessor guy almost certainly is a he. Anyway, I have two hunches. One, whoever wrote this was hard when he did. And two, there is no wife, there are no friends, but there might be diapers. Dumpster graffiti confessor guy is fantasizing, putting it out there, telling his erotic truth, sharing his secret desires with the world. He's into forced feminization and hashtag ABDL, that's adult baby diaper lover play. And maybe by putting it out there, by almost saying it out loud, some force at work in the universe will hear his inky prayers and come through for him and deliver to him the right partner. My second thought, good for you, dumpster graffiti confessor guy. Everyone wants to be known and wants to be seen. And that extends to our sexuality. Everyone wants to feel like their sexuality, including their kinks, are a valid and visible part of their identity, at least to some people. Each of us wants our sexual worth and our erotic truths to be acknowledged by someone who doesn't live in our head. So, hey, dumpster graffiti confessor guy, I see you, I acknowledge you, and I validate you. There is nothing wrong with being or wanting to be, quote-unquote, forced to wear diapers and women's clothing to entertain your wife's friends, if that's what you want, and that's what your wife wants, and that's what her friends want. So here's hoping it happens for you, and not just in your head when you're scrawling graffiti on a dumpster, but in your reality. And hey, that's what I'm putting out there to start this week's show. Sometimes I just want to wallow in something sweet and the good kind of dirty. But don't forget, November is coming. Register to vote if you aren't already registered. Register someone else to vote if you already are. Volunteer, donate. Complacency is complicity, kids. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the Magnum subscription edition of the Savage Lovecast, which you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, twice as long and no ads, I convene a panel of local lesbian guest experts to tackle some calls about processing and other lesbian concerns. All coming up on today's show.
This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Everlane, luxury basic clothing and accessories made at ethical factories without those retail markups. For free shipping and to support the Lovecast, go to everlane.com/savage. This episode is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Get 50% off one item and free shipping when you enter the offer code SAVAGE at checkout.
Hey, Dan, I have kind of a dilemma. I work for a landscaping company in a small town, pretty liberal area, pretty liberal state, and I have this coworker. He is from the South and is very conservative. And has a bit of a mouth on him. He's made some really offensive comments about gay people. He's made some pretty offensive comments about black people. At one point, he said he wanted to tie a chain around Obama's neck and drag him behind his truck. All stuff that makes me uncomfortable. I've called him out here and there about it, and he kind of shrugs it off, plays it as a joke, tries to say, oh, well, I'm not really like that, even though all the evidence sort of points to the fact that he is definitely like that. And he has a drinking problem. He came into work once, wasted, was definitely drinking during the day. Normally, this would be a fireable offense for most places, but where I work is kind of treating him with kid gloves, as his wife recently died. Him and his wife moved here in November, and then she died 3 or 4 months later very suddenly of an aneurysm, and so nobody wants to fire this guy. And my question is, do I go to my bosses and tell them about some of the really offensive comments he's made, and not just about gay people or black people, but also about women? And some of his really offensive comments have been directed to me. And I don't fear for my safety. However, it makes me extremely uncomfortable, and I don't really want to work with this guy. I just, I'm not so sure if I want to get him fired. You know, every time I'll tell him, like, don't be fucking creepy, he tries to play it off as a joke. He'd be like, well, it's not really like that. Well, yes, you are. He is like that, apparently. But do I basically tattle on this guy and possibly get him fired? And, you know, we're a very small landscaping team. There's only 3 of us, and the other person's a dude. So if I do complain and he's merely reprimanded and he is not fired, it will make everybody super uncomfortable because he's going to know exactly where that complaint comes from. And I have to sit, you know, 6 inches from him every day in a truck, Monday through Friday.
We've all seen the video. It's all over the internet. It's all over Twitter. It's all over the nightly news. The video of white people behaving abominably to people of color, calling the police on little black girls selling water on the street, on calling the police on people using the black people, using the pool attached to their own apartment complex that they have an absolute right to use. And we've seen in many of these instances, the people who made these calls lose their jobs. The people who made African-Americans feel uncomfortable in their own communities, in their own skin, and sicked the police on them. And we should all know now that calling the police on an African-American is to put that African-American person's life in danger. Google Sandra Bland. That was just a traffic stop. Your coworker is one of those white people behaving abominably. Your coworker is also testing the boundaries, is testing the white people in his orbit, you and your other coworker, the 3 of you in that truck, to see what he can get away with. He is not joking when he says these things. He is pushing and prodding and testing. He is seeing how far he can take this shit, what he can get away with, what you are willing to tolerate and what your coworker is willing to tolerate, what your employer is willing to tolerate if they should find out about this. And it will embolden him and others like him. The test for white people right now, as so many other white people are out there behaving abominably, is to stand up to this shit that your coworker is beta testing with his white colleagues before he busts it out on some person of color on the street or on the bus or in a pool. So no, go get him fucking fired. He and other people like him, racist, sexist, homophobic pieces of shit, need to know that there are limits. He needs to know that good and decent people are not going to sit there. Good and decent white people are not going to sit there with their thumbs in their asses doing nothing and hemming and hawing while he beta tests his bigotry to see what he can get away with. Time to stand up to this shit is now. The time to go to HR at your company, if your company has HR, and complain about him is now. And put it in fucking writing when you take it to them. And get this motherfucker fired. And if you detail everything this motherfucker is doing, and he isn't fired, and then you're required to sit 3 inches from him in that truck, make a public stink.
Hey, Dan and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. I'm a gay, cisgendered male in my mid-20s, living in the Intermountain region here for the summer. I met this wonderful guy here who I like and I really connect with. Let's just say he's coming on very strong. After only 1 week, mind you, we have hung out a lot during that week, he has basically offered to shift his entire life, i.e. move to wherever I go, after this program ends, in order to be with me. I was wondering if you could speak to this behavior of moving extremely fast. Everything he says seems to be very truthful, poignant, and from the heart. He is not shy about saying how attracted he is to me. And yet his relentless, gushing honesty, almost to the point of worshiping me, feels like it's pushing me away emotionally and physically. We still haven't even taken off our pants, and I'm generally a very horny guy. Can this be rectified? Does it even need rectifying, and I'm just scared of being vulnerable? I feel weird about criticizing the way he expresses himself so openly. I just know I don't have these similar shape-shifting feelings after just 1 week, and I don't want to lead him on.
I actually know people who did exactly what this guy is saying he would like to do, who moved across country after knowing someone for a very short amount of time, and it worked out, and they're still together, and they're very happy. However, this kind of coming on too strong, this kind of premature emotional commitment or attachment is also frequently the sign of something unhealthy or even potentially abusive. At the very least, if this guy moves across country to be with you, it may create in you some feeling of obligation that you have to take care of this guy, that you have to be with this guy because he turned his whole life upside down for you, whether you wanted him to or not. And suddenly you have this burden to come through for him, to love him the way he loves you, which sounds a little maniacal. Sounds a little bit like, even if these feelings are genuine and he's not just trying to manipulate you, it sounds like a colossal display on his part of bad judgment, which is something we talk about on my show a lot. We look for in partners good judgment. And to tell someone after just a few days together without ever having taken your pants off that you love them enough to turn your life upside down, to move across the country, to be with them is a display of bad judgment because that will spook most people. Most people that you roll that out for are going to run the fuck away. And he should know that. And apparently he doesn't know that. And he doesn't know that because he has piss poor fucking judgment. You need to push back. You need to tell him that he's freaking you out, that he's spooking you, that you like him. You've liked him enough to spend this week together with him, hanging out platonically for the most part. But you don't really know him and he doesn't really know you. For all he knows, you have a collection of dead Boy Scouts under your bed. For all you know, he has the same. And so if you want to continue to see each other, it will be long distance. Maybe you guys can meet up again a couple of times. You can continue to talk, Skype, text with each other, and get to know each other better. There's lots of examples out there in the world, particularly this connected world now with the internet, where people did move across the country to be with someone that they met online. And it's worked out, and they're grateful and glad that they did. Usually it's not an impulse purchase, though. Usually you take your time. You do your due diligence. Dating is a discovery process. That process hasn't gone on long enough for you to know, for you to have discovered that he's someone that you would want to commit to in the way he wants to commit to you. Maybe he's right. Maybe you are the love of his life. Maybe he is the love of your life. If that's true now, that will be true a year from now. Tell him to slow his roll, to cool his jets. And if he reacts badly to you being a reasonable person demonstrating good judgment, yeah, then don't ever talk to him ever again. Would you buy a t-shirt for $50 if you knew it only cost $7 to make? Now, normally that's a rhetorical question because there's usually not somebody here with me when I ask that, when I say that out loud. Honey, would you buy a t-shirt that cost $7 to make for $50?
I mean, I have.
I'm sure you paid more than $50 for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But with Everlane, you don't have to overpay for quality clothes ever again.
That sounds like an order, Dan.
It is an order. Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups, and they tell you their real costs so you know you're never overpaying. Everlane wants you to know what you're paying for and why. So they are radically transparent about every step in their process, from the materials they use to the ethical factories they work with. And because Everlane sells directly to you, Terry, since Everlane sells directly to you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, last longer.
Yeah, I agree. The quality is great and they look great. I haven't had much of a chance to try them on because every time a box comes to the house, it gets pilfered by other people.
Like me.
Like you.
Which is rare and odd because I'm not really into new clothes. I like to wear the same like three ratty pairs of jeans and the same 20 t-shirts I've been wearing since high school and college. But the Everlane box comes and I pop it open. I've found things in there that I like. Yeah. Me who hates new things.
I secretly ordered you a pair of jeans, put it on your shelf, and you wore them accidentally and then ended up liking them.
Actually, I loved those jeans. I also like other essentials from Everlane, like their Cotton Crew t-shirt, the men's Japanese Oxford, all exactly what they should be. Simple, stylish, and made from quality materials. Do you have another fave?
Yeah, I really like the linen button-up shirt with the band collar. I ordered one, and I loaned it to a friend, and it has since not been available. And I can't order another one because they're sold out.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Everlane's timeless essentials, they're not sold out. And you can get what you're looking for. No frills, just quality. And right now you can check out my personalized collection at everlane.com/savage. Terry personalized that collection for me. And he has taste. That's why you'll want to check it out. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/savage. Everlane.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I've been dating a guy for over 3 years now. We live together. I hadn't been feeling good in the relationship for about a year, but thought it was just because I was really stressed out with work. A little bit over a month ago, we got into a really bad fight when he was blacked out drunk after I got home from work, and it got really physical to the point that, I don't know, I almost called the cops, but I didn't. And then I spent the whole next day with my best friend covered in bruises, and he didn't even remember. He just thought we got in a fight. Anyway, he's been living with his parents since in town, and he's definitely shown me that he's working on himself, and that he's sorry, and he's being very sweet to me, but he hasn't told anyone. None of his friends know. His parents don't know. None of them, I have a relationship with his friends and his parents, but no one has called me, no one's contacted me. It's just weird to me that, I don't know, he's still hiding it. And at times I feel like he thinks that he didn't do anything wrong. He's made a comment before that my hysteria in the moment caused him to do that. He's not an angry person, and this is definitely a first time, like, whoa. I'm just confused. I listened to another one of your podcasts, and you're saying that if a man is not getting help and leaving the relationship, and he's probably manipulating the girl to make her feel bad for him. I just don't know what the best thing to do here is.
In a circumstance like this, it's best to avoid the passive voice. You say it got really physical, and then you describe yourself as traumatized and covered in bruises and hiding in a friend's house the next day. It didn't get really physical. Your boyfriend beat the shit out of you. You need to dump this motherfucker. On top of beating the shit out of you, he's not taking any responsibility. He's not creating in his life any accountability for himself by not telling his parents, by not telling your mutual friends what happened, what he did when he was drunk. And then, on top of that, blaming you by saying that your hysteria in the moment caused him to do this, caused him to beat the shit out of you. That is all the evidence you need that he is not working on himself. He isn't telling anybody what he did, and when he talks to you about what he did, he blames you. This is a relationship extinction level event. He has revealed to you who he is. He has revealed to you who he will be in the future. He has told you explicitly that in moments of conflict, when you are quote-unquote hysterical, which is a totally sexist term that we usually try to avoid around here, but he has told you when you are incredibly upset, that he will revert to physical violence and it will be your fault. Yeah, no. It's over. Dump this motherfucker already. He needs to work on himself, which he can do single and solo. This event, here I am using the passive voice. What he did needs to cost him this relationship so that he understands that somehow it gets through to him that behaving like this toward women or toward anyone is going to deprive him of things in his life that he would like to have in his life, potentially his freedom. You could have, and still could, call the cops. That might be in his best interest for you to report this, for you to involve the police. That's your call to make. And involving the police, involving the authorities, can complicate shit. It can also put somebody in a situation where they are required to get the help that they need. And I don't think that this guy is getting the help that he needs. Hasn't told anyone, hasn't told his parents, hasn't told his friends, is blaming you for beating the shit out of you. And you don't mention him getting into counseling. You don't mention him talking to a therapist. You don't mention any proactive steps that would demonstrate that he is taking personal responsibility for what he did to you in that moment. And I got to say, long-ass term relationships, there will be many moments of conflict in a long-term relationship. Do you want to be with somebody for the long term, knowing that if you get upset, that you risk getting the shit beat out of you by that asshole again? Do you want to, in a moment where you're very upset, have to police and edit yourself for fear of what he might do to you and then blame you for? No. No, you don't want that. You don't deserve that. One of the things we need in a long-term relationship, one of the things we need from someone that we love, is the freedom in that relationship every once in a while, not constantly, not daily, not weekly, not monthly, not biannually, but once in a while, to kind of have a meltdown, to kind of have a freak out and know that you're safe with that person, that you can be that raw, not vituperative, not an asshole, not emotionally abusive yourself, but that you can go to pieces in front of this person and that they're not going to pound the shit out of those pieces. They're going to be there and love you through that and help you put those pieces back together as you will do for them when they go to pieces. You can't be with someone in a loving long-term relationship where you fear those moments when you go to pieces that they will point to that as an excuse to violate you, to abuse you, to beat you. He's not getting the help that he needs. He's hiding at his parents' house, lying to friends and family, and gaslighting you by blaming you for this. This is a DTMFA situation. You need, for your own safety, you need to dump this motherfucker already. And if you feel for him, if you still, on some level, love him, know that this is the best possible thing that you could do for him. Hey, honey.
Hi.
My husband is here to help me talk about Blue Apron. Did you ever, in the whole long course of our relationship, our marriage, did you ever think you would see me cook?
No.
I don't cook.
No.
Or I didn't used to cook.
You pretty much still don't.
But sometimes now I do.
Yeah, when I'm not home.
Well, when you're not home, I will make the Blue Apron myself. Blue Apron turned me into a when Terry isn't home, home cook.
Yes, because the instructions are easy enough for idiots who never cook
to follow. I am good at washing dishes, though.
You're very good at washing dishes.
You never have to wash the dishes.
No, never have to wash the dishes.
For anybody out there listening, for anybody out there who can hear the sound of my voice, who doesn't have a Terry that does the cooking, thank you, Terry, for doing the cooking.
You're welcome.
You should subscribe to Blue Apron too, like us, because they will take care of the planning and shopping while you, if you don't have a Terry, do the cooking and the eating yourself. You can enjoy delicious meals like steak, pepper, and onion fajitas with tangy slaw and roasted cauliflower and saffron pasta with goat cheese dressing, all on the table in 30 minutes or less with incredible ingredients and chef-designed recipes. Blue Apron lets you see what the power of food can do. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs, including me when you're not there.
That's right.
I am a home chef now.
That's right, honey. But you're still going to be relegated to the dishes the whole damn time.
I'm happy to do the dishes when you're cooking. And when I cook, that means you're not there and I have to do the dishes. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
Blue Apron offers three plans, a two-person meal plan, a family plan, and a wine plan. Blue Apron is offering our listeners $30 off your first delivery. Terry and I use Blue Apron regularly and we love it. So check out this week's menu and get $30 off at blueapron.com/savage. That's blueapron.com/savage. Blue Apron. The slogan is a better way to cook, but for me, it's literally the only way I've ever cooked.
Hey, Dan. I'm a straight, cisgendered male, West Coast, age 25. I've been dating this one woman for 3 months now, and we've had intercourse a couple times. Oh, well, actually, quite a few times. And I still haven't been able to manage to get her to orgasm. She can orgasm. She knows what it feels like. She's done it to herself multiple times. And I've even asked her to see how she does it. And I've tried that on her, but she says that instead of being like a normal orgasm, it feels like she's going to pee. I thought that was maybe a sign that she may have been a squirter, but she ends up just like peeing really softly, and she says she's getting no pleasure from it. Any tips and tricks? Maybe something to try? If you're going to suggest some kind of toy, maybe leave a place to maybe find one.
You've been dating this girl for 3 months. She is orgasmic. She can masturbate. She can make herself come. Ask her when she first started masturbating. Guys, young men, boys, start masturbating typically 12, 13, 14, and have been at it for years before they arrive at partnered intercourse. And they are experts on what it takes to get them off and what feels good and where those plateaus are and where the point of orgasmic inevitability is, where they're going to come no matter what happens next. If she's only been masturbating for a little while, if she's roughly your own age, it could be that she's still growing into her own orgasmic capacity and capability, in which case, re-fucking lax. Even if she's been masturbating for 10 years, re-fucking lax. You've only been dating this girl for 3 months. You're a new sex partner, and it may take her some time to feel comfortable enough with you to be fully present in the moment, to really release and let go, to give up the control that she has when she is pleasuring herself. Instead of making this about you and about your skills, make it about her and about her orgasms. She can come with you there when she pleasures herself in that particular way, when she uses the technique that she uses. Hold her while she masturbates. Provide her with additional stimulation that she also enjoys. Allow her to drive when and how and where she incorporates you or your hands or your tongue or whatever into her masturbatory technique and routine, and allowing her to fold you into her process gradually, into her masturbatory technique and routine, when and where she can, slowly and without it being about, you know, handing off the baton to you and you being totally in charge and in control of her body and her orgasm and her pleasure at that point. You're likelier to get to the place you want to get to, which is where you can get her off solo. Look, Ma, no hands, orgasm. He did it. He built it. You built it, right? Then making it all about you right now at 3 months with this new sex partner. Toys are wonderful. I can't assign you a toy. What you need to do is get on a website for a Good Vibrations or a Come As You Are or a Babeland and look around and see what piques her interest. Or visit, if you live in a city that has a woman-owned sex toy store, feminist sex toy store, like Shebop in Portland, visit the store and check out the sex toys and let her pick something that she wants to try, that she's excited about. That is going to provide you with a better result, potentially, than the fag sex advice podcaster assigning a sex toy to the boyfriend to bring to the girlfriend. That's unlikely to result in any sort of success. Take her to a sex toy store if she's interested in sex toys. But right now, it's working. She is orgasmic. She has orgasms. She has orgasms with you there. You're not driving them right now, but you are present and a part of what's arousing for her. So take that yes for an answer and stop making a problem out of the fact that you can't do it all yourself right now. And remind yourself that it's only been 6 months and take the pressure off. If you've been really working at this over the last 3 months, one of the reasons that her orgasms may be elusive when you're in control is that she feels they're not about her and her pleasure, but about pleasing you, about giving you the gift of allowing you to make her come. My orgasm isn't for me. My pleasure isn't for me. My pleasure is a command performance that's about his ego. That is not sexy. And you want this to be sexy, and for it to be sexy, it needs to be relaxed. So fucking relax about your girlfriend's orgasms. She comes. Your ability to get her off, your ability to make her come, that too will come in time. Here at the Savage Lovecast, we have an imperative that we take seriously, making sure you and your partners have the best orgasms you possibly can. And for this reason, we are huge fans of sex toys, so why not head over to adamandeve.com? Right now, they're offering 50% off just about any item, which is incredible, plus free shipping on your entire order, also incredible. So what do you have to do to get your 50% off one item and free shipping? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code SAVAGE at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item, get 50% off, including free shipping. Again, when you enter offer code SAVAGE. That's SAVAGE, SAVAGE at adamandeve.com.
Hi, Dan. I really need your help, okay? So I've been with my boyfriend for 2.5 years. I'm 26. He's 31. Anyway, I gained about 50 pounds in the time that we've been together, like about over the last 1.5 years. And now he does not want to have sex with me, okay? So we have sex like once or twice a month, and I always initiate, and he doesn't seem that interested, and that's what I'm thinking it is. It's the weight. And it's really hard for me. It just hurts. It's really lowering my self-esteem. And I know the answer is like, you know, get fit, be confident with myself again, and eat well. And I'm not doing those things. And I need to work on that. But it really just, I don't know. I guess my question is it mean of him to not want to have sex with me now that I've gained weight? He hasn't explicitly said that. And I don't think he's trying to punish me. I think he just doesn't have sexual attraction to the body type that I'm in now. I was like really fit when we first started dating. So what do I do, Dan? I love him so much. I need sex in my life. I'm going to start eating better and working out, but I don't know if I'll ever be as skinny as I was because I was basically anorexic when we met and I've always struggled with food stuff. So please help.
When you say you were basically anorexic then, when you first met your boyfriend 2.5 years ago, do you mean clinically diagnosed anorexic food disorder?
No. Okay. So I'm 27 now. And when I was like 19, I was anorexic for like 2 years. Like I would eat like an apple or an egg in the day. Mm. And then when I met my boyfriend, I was eating more than that, but I would like skip meals on purpose and things like that. I just have weird food things.
Mm-hmm. And so when you met your boyfriend, you were very slim. You keep saying you were fit. When someone tells me, you know, when I met you, I was anorexic or then I was anorexic. It sounds like you had anorexia and it was treated when you were 19. But when you met your boyfriend, were you, you know, the person, the body you were in then, were you skeletal? Were you unhealthy? Was he attracted to you at a time in your life when you were not well?
No. He didn't know that I was like intentionally skipping meals. Like I just looked thin. Like I looked good. Like I looked skinny, but I wasn't like skeletal or anything like that.
So you weren't emaciated and sallow and sick. You appear to be sick.
No, I really didn't.
Okay, so I hate to ask this like this, but I feel like I have to address it directly. What's been going on in the last 1.5 years that you put on 50 pounds? And I don't just mean what have you been eating and have you not been, you know, moving. I mean emotionally. What's been going down in the last 1.5 years that you put on 50 pounds? If there's an emotional component, and when somebody has a history of eating disorders, there's often an emotional component to weight gain or weight loss, mm-hmm. particularly significant weight gain or weight loss. So what's been going on?
Well, we moved in together and so I couldn't skip meals. Like he was like, we were so in love and he was cooking me all this pasta with garlic bread and Alfredo sauce. And I just like, I flipped, like I'm kind of like all or nothing. So I was like, okay, now I'm eating a lot. And that just continued. And now I just kind of lost control of it. And now I'm just like, okay, I can eat whatever I want. And now I'm in this body type that I feel so uncomfortable in. Mm. And it's just so hard to get back, you know, to find the middle ground to where I'm like eating healthily.
And you've never directly addressed this with him? You've never said, hey, I put on a lot of weight. You don't seem as attracted to me anymore. What's up?
I have. And he just like, he doesn't admit it. Like he just kind of gets quiet. Like I'm like, is it just that I gained weight and you just don't want to have sex with me because this isn't the body type you're sexually attracted to? And he just kind of gets quiet. And I'm like, just tell me if that's what it is, because we used to have sex all the time.
Let's imagine for a second that he told you that that's what it was.
I mean, honestly, it would be hard to hear, but mm-hmm.
Which is probably why he hasn't said it.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to hurt me. He really is a nice guy, but it's just like, we have to have sex, and I just don't know if I'm being like unfair to be like, you have to want me at any body type, you know? Like, I don't even feel confident, and I'm sure that's part of it.
What sort of shape is he in? if he's serving up Alfredo garlic sauce, garlic bread.
He's in good shape. He's a fireman. And so he's just like always working out at work, and he's not like ripped, but he's like got a good body.
So he's able to burn off all those calories.
Yeah. Like he's got incredible stamina.
So it seems to me you have to have a difficult conversation with him about your food issues. And I say this to you as someone with food issues himself. I was heavy in high school. I was fat in high school. And I am very hyper about what I'm eating and when I'm eating. And whenever I sit down in a restaurant, I think, what did I eat yesterday? And that determines what I'm going to eat today. Because if I had a burger and fries yesterday, I'm not having a burger and fries today. So I'm constantly thinking about food. And I come from a family where most of my relatives are heavy. And it has been kind of a lifelong struggle. I'm 53 years old. Lifelong struggle for me to stay relatively slim and fit, right? So that requires a conscious effort on my part. But not just on my part, also on the part of my partner. Mm-hmm. We eat healthy together. In part because, and he doesn't need to. He can eat anything. And I had to learn how to sit with Terry, my husband, in his 20s when he was in his pint of Ben and Jerry's every night stage and not have any ice cream myself, which was really hard, you know, when someone's
so hard
inhaling that Ben and Jerry's in front of you. But meals, like he's the cook and he plans the meals, and we eat really healthy, not because he necessarily needs to be that conscientious about food, but because I do, and he supports me in that. And if your gaining weight is, you know, a problem in your relationship, a problem for him being attracted to you, and yet everything he prepares for you and he likes to cook and he likes to make food is high calorie, and you don't have the kind of job where you're active all day long like he is, he's partly responsible for this impasse. And this is something that you guys need to work on together, not just you take full responsibility and all the blame, and this is all on you. Like, your health and his health, if you are a couple, if you live together, are intertwined. And the way he eats is fine for him, but that kind of eating, that kind of firehouse eating, where you want to pack in calories because you're getting so much cardio, that's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
So you need to say to him, bitch, more stir fry, less fettuccine and fucking Alfredo with garlic bread. You don't serve garlic bread with pasta because pasta is bread. You don't have a bread side with a bread main. You have a vegetable. Make some goddamn grilled asparagus when you're going to have fettuccine Alfredo. I love spaghetti carbonara. I don't deny myself the foods I love. But if I'm having spaghetti carbonara for dinner, which I do at a restaurant near our house, I don't get bread with that.
Right.
That is bread. It's actually the idea, the perfect iteration of bread is spaghetti carbonara. It's bread's highest form. So your weight gain and you being at a weight that you feel comfortable, and you know, and I get in trouble when I say this, yeah, you know, 2.5 years into a relationship, if someone that you're with radically changes their look, and this isn't just about weight, radically changes their look in some way, that can negatively impact the sexual connection and the initial attraction that brought you two together. And bodies change and people age, but that is usually a very gradual process, right? And then you have years of intimacy and connectedness to sort of not compensate for, but kind of fill that void as, you know, as gravity and time shreds us all, that there's that affection and connection and history that can create its own kind of erotic bond and help keep that attraction in place. But when it happens rapidly and suddenly and early in a relationship, there hasn't been that time.
Yeah.
Which is not to make you feel bad and to heap blame on you, but this is something that you two are going to have to fix together, because you two together, or with his complicit sort of probably unintentional, dense, inconsiderate contribution, he helped create this problem in your relationship, which is not your weight. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying your weight is a problem in this relationship, but that, you know, that radical change in look that is negatively impacting his attraction to you.
Mm-hmm.
He helped you dig this hole. He's going to have to help you dig it out.
Yeah, and I can go to him and like ask him to only cook healthy stuff, but but do you think that it's okay that, like, he's not being cruel, right? It's not like a DTMFA situation, right? It's like, we just need to work on it together.
Yes. And but you can't work on it together until there's some honesty about it. And this is really difficult because, you know, he's probably heard from a million different Oprah kind of talks out there in the world that you have to love the person on the inside and the outside shouldn't matter. And a guy who isn't attracted to a woman when she gains weight or gets bigger, her body changes, is an asshole. And he doesn't want to be an asshole. Right? That's why he's not answering the question when you put it to him. Is it my weight gain? Is that why you don't initiate anymore? Don't seem very excited about sex with me at the moment. And he's not going to answer that truthfully. And so until there's some honesty there, there's going to be more and more distance and distrust.
Yeah.
Because his actions are saying one thing and his words are saying another. Honey, nothing's changed, but you can tell that everything's changed about your sexual connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just intimacy in general. Like, he's just not as touchy or, like, I don't know, excited about me.
And that kind of withholding is only going to make it worse, because then you're going to start eating your feelings. Then food is going to become the comfort. The physical comfort, food is a physical comfort. Food is going to become the physical comfort that takes the place of the physical comfort you used to get from him. And I'm not saying you got to lose 50 pounds to get that back. I'm saying he shouldn't be withdrawing from you in this way. He should be there for you. But you're going to have some radically honest conversations with him that might be painful. And those radically honest conversations have to include him taking responsibility for your health as a couple. The two of you together are a unit and a team now. And there's a way that you two together are going to have to eat that's good for both of you, not just good for him at the fire department, but good for you too. And that's, again, like circling back to me and Terry, that is something that Terry, who is the meal planner, is very conscious of. I can't eat like he eats. I can't have ice cream every day. I can't have pasta every night because I'll explode.
Yeah.
He can, but he doesn't. And that's where you need to get to.
Yeah.
And you need to move and you need to go to the gym. Not to like get lose every ounce of the 50 pounds. Not everybody doesn't have to be a rail. Women don't all have to be size zeros. Guys don't all have to be Adonises. But the more we move, the more comfortable we are in our own skin and the healthier we feel whatever size we are. So I'd encourage you to work on the diet thing at home together. Not deny yourself. Like going on a diet, that doesn't work. Having a healthy diet, that works. A healthy diet is balanced also with treats and pleasures, not just with Brussels sprouts and salad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You will resent Brussels sprouts and salad less if the sight of them doesn't mean you don't get to eat the things that you enjoy. Still eat those things. But also move. Do you have a sedentary job?
Yeah.
Me too. I sit on my butt at a computer in a cafe, or I sit on my butt in a recording studio all day long. And so I build movement into my day and walking and going places. And I know that's a luxury. Not everybody has the time to do that. You don't have kids right now, right?
No.
You should
thank
have
God.
More time to move and to get up and move. Not for him, not with the goal of being the weight you were 50 pounds ago or at 19, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But so you feel comfortable in your body and confident.
Absolutely. I just had my birthday and I asked for this like at home treadmill that like folds up and you can put under the bed in between uses. So I'm going to like try to get a certain amount of steps every day. And I know I'll actually use it because I can just watch TV while I do it. And so I'm going to try.
Don't do that. go ahead and do that. But in my experience, the home exercise equipment doesn't work because you can always step off the treadmill at home and go eat or masturbate or lay down or watch television without having to walk. If you're in a gym and you're not working out, you're like, what am I doing here? You can't go get something out of the fridge and you can't like go masturbate. You're at the gym. So you work out when you're in a place where other people are working out. And when you're home, you don't want to work out. And if you're going to walk out in the world so you can see things and experience
I have a sketchy neighborhood.
Okay, well, maybe the treadmill is the best idea, but a lot of sketchy neighborhoods have even great gyms. And don't feel self-conscious about going to a gym if you're larger. I promise you the gym regulars are only looking at themselves. They're not looking at the newbies at the gym.
Yeah, you're right. And my boyfriend will actually go with me to the gym if I ever asked. Like, I know he would be like, sure, let's go. So that's
kind of cool. And we live really close to our gym.
Ah, go to the gym. I promise you, if you force yourself to go for 8 weeks, then it becomes a routine and a habit and you begin to feel so much better. Not because you're more virtuous because you're at the gym or you're suddenly like the 50 pounds have evaporated. You feel better. It's a natural antidepressant to move and to exercise. Mm-hmm. And you will find after forcing yourself to go for 8 weeks or 12 weeks that after that time you want to go. And it's just built into your day and you just do it.
Okay.
And bring your phone, listen to your podcasts, listen to the Savage Lovecast, watch the TV on the treadmill. There's a social reward to being a regular at the gym, too, because you get to know other people at the gym. And it gets you out of your house and away from your TV.
Yeah.
And out of your own head. And it becomes a support system. Right. It really does.
Okay.
You can do it. And I'm not saying you can lose all the weight and re-earn his affections and make him attracted to you again. I'm saying you can be fit and healthy, but to solve the problem of the sex problem in this relationship, you're going to have to risk honesty and a kind of radical honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And mutual responsibility. Good luck.
Thank you so much for calling. That's amazing. I listen to you all the time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I want to get a call from you in 12 weeks that you're listening to me at the gym on a treadmill there.
You got it.
Okay. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Dan. Calling or to comment on a young lesbian in episode 612 who's going through a divorce. Hi, I did the same thing. I'm also a lesbian. I'm in my 30s now. And I didn't have any problems rolling it out. Dan, I think your advice was great. I wish I'd had it when I was 21, 22. But I think that what you missed is kind of maybe what she was really hoping to hear, which is like, sweetheart, people that you want to be with aren't going to care. And it's really easy to look at yourself and look at the situation that you've gotten yourself into and think, who the fuck is ever going to want to date me? I'm 20 and I'm divorced. And it's just not, it's a real fear. I've been there. I felt that. But like, the people that you're going to be dating aren't going to hold that against you as much as you think they are. And people aren't going to judge you as much as you think they are. And I think what you'll actually find is that people who are happily married and in their 30s and 40s, colleagues, friends of friends, who know that you're going through this are actually going to come out to you and say, oh, hey, by the way, I actually got divorced in my 20s too, because that's what happened to me. And I was shocked at how big of a fraternity I was accidentally joining. So take it from me and my wife, my second wife, who I love very much, who I got married to in my late 20s. It does get better. It's not going to be as big as you think it is. It feels like divorce takes forever to go through, but it'll be over before you know it, I promise.
Hey, what's going on, Dan? I'm calling in response to episode 612, and the woman who called in, whose boyfriend won't lick her pussy unless she's straight out of the shower, and your subsequent position that is bullshit, assuming she has sort of standard hygiene. That stance doesn't really make any sense given the constant themes of sort of freedom of choice and sexual autonomy that kind of permeate this show. Whatever the context is, basically the message always comes back to being that no one should have to do what they don't want to do if they don't want to do it. If you're a gay guy, don't want to be a bottom, you don't have to be. If you want to be a top, you don't have to be. If you're a straight woman, doesn't want to have sex with a transgender woman with a penis, you don't have to do that. So I don't really understand how this would be any different. And this guy definitely should have the choice to only lick box when it's straight out of the shower. This is not a gendered argument. And if she wanted to draw the same hard line, of course, that would be her option as well. And even in this context, he has the freedom of choice to do that, and she then has the freedom of choice to dump that fresh-only pussy-eating motherfucker already.
Hey, Dan, calling in response to episode 612, the woman who wanted to know whether she should talk to the kid who she babysat when he was 4. Thank you for your advice. When I was 27, I started working at a place where my dad worked, and the number of people who had known him for years and years and who therefore knew me when I was a child and brought that up was fucking annoying. Thank you. Leave the kid alone. Let him be a grown-up.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. 302-2064. The deadline for entering Hump, My Dirty Little Porn Film Festival, is coming up. Go to humpfilmfest.com and click on submit to find out how you can be a porn star safely in a movie theater without having to be a porn star forever on the internet. Also, a big congrats to Kevin Allison and everyone at the Risk Podcast. Their brand new book is out. It is a collection of Risk stories, including one by me. It is a beautiful and funny and hilarious and moving collection of real life stories that people thought they'd never dare to share. Go to risk-show.com to order yourself a copy or get them wherever good, funny, hilarious, moving books are sold. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Tracy Cataldo on Twitter at TraCataldo. Follow Katie Herzog on Twitter at Kitty Herzog. And a big thank you for my husband, Terry, for coming in today and doing some ads with me. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, to whom I am eternally grateful. And me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy, we will all be back at you next week for another installment of Savage Lovecast. Thanks for having me.